Hi, everybody. This is Father Steve, and welcome once again to the Ways of Faith podcast, a daily podcast that I am conducting to provide some spiritual insight and ideas for spiritual practice during this time in which we are all experiencing some restrictions on our ability to gather for public worship due to the spread of the coronavirus. As you may know, I've been speaking about prayer over the last several days, and today I'd like to start talking about some specific difficulties in prayer that we can face from time to time and kind of what to do about them or how to respond or what steps to take. Okay, so today I'd like to talk about a specific difficulty in prayer that is very common, perhaps the most common difficulty that we encounter when we're trying to pray, and that is the difficulty of distractions in prayer, right? We all probably know that experience. We sit down to pray and we close our eyes and we have the best of intentions and we begin to either pray silently with God or we start to pray the rosary or to read the Bible. And before we know it, we realize that we have been distracted by 100 different thoughts. Maybe for a significant period of time, we've been thinking about everything else under the sun except for God, right? And our prayer. We haven't stayed focused on our prayer at all. And it can be a very frustrating experience, but it's absolutely normal. Distractions in prayer will happen. I guarantee it. And we have to be careful to do two things when we're dealing with mental or internal distractions. First, don't fret over them, okay? Don't worry about them. Don't let them get you down, because when we realize that we have become distracted, when we kind of come back to ourselves, then all we need to do is choose in love to come back to focusing on Jesus. We kind of say, oh, okay, I'm distracted here. I'm thinking about something else. I choose you, Lord. I put that aside and come back to focusing on whatever it was that I was doing in my prayers, okay? Just to do that in itself is a great act of love to God, because by doing that, we are showing him and telling him that he's more important to us than the thing that we're distracted about. In fact, the Catechism says this in saying, first of all, that distraction is the habitual difficulty in prayer. In other words, that it's with us all the time. Everybody experiences it, okay? The Catechism says this about distractions, quote, "To set about hunting down distractions would be to fall into their trap, when all that is necessary is to turn back to our heart. For a distraction reveals to us what we are attached to. And this humble awareness before the Lord should awaken our preferential love for him and lead us resolutely to offer him our heart to be purified. Therein lies the battle, the choice of which master to serve." End quote. In other words, when we realize that we're distracted, we don't let it bother us. We just turn back to Jesus immediately. The problem, or if you want to put it this way, the sin that could come into play would be is when I realize I'm distracted, and then I freely choose to continue to engage that distraction, to think about something else other than God, when I know it's supposed to be time that I'm focusing on God. Because then I'm saying, I know I'm supposed to be praying, Lord, but I want to think about this or deal with this right now instead of staying focused on prayer. So we're choosing something else over and above our relationship with God in that moment. But to actually just have distractions, it's not something that we can control. It's a part of who we are. We have minds that race sometimes and that think about other things. So every time that we turn back from a distraction to Jesus in our prayer, we're carrying out an act of love for him. Remember that, okay? And second, the second thing to remember about distractions is that if we find ourselves being continuously distracted by a certain internal thought or desire, after giving that over to Jesus and turning back to him, it might be worth thinking, now why is that distraction continuing to pop up? And we do this not for the sake of, again, of trying to root it out, which may prove impossible, but because sometimes a repetitive distraction, having continuous distractions about the same subject matter, can be a sign of something that we are too attached to in our lives. So, for example, if whenever I sit down to pray, I find that I'm often distracted by anxious thoughts about my money and bank accounts and financial security, well, that might mean that I'm too attached to my possessions, and that's something that I need to turn over more completely to the Lord in my life. Or if I sit down to pray and I realize that I'm being continuously distracted by thoughts about my health, or about a relationship that I'm in, or about things that other people have said to me, well, it might show that I am too attached to those things, and I need to turn them over to Jesus and reassert my desire that Jesus be the most important person in my life. One last thing that I would say about distractions is that besides interior distractions, distractions that pop up in my mind, there can also be exterior distractions. Now, we need to do reasonably what we can to limit external distractions by taking practical steps to secure for ourselves a time and place and way to pray that makes distractions less likely. Okay? We can't root them all out, but we can do practical things to make them less likely. Okay? So, for example, obviously, if I were to try to pray while the television is on in the same room that I'm in, that's going to be pretty difficult, right? To give my focus to the Lord because you got the television sitting in front of you, okay? It's not a great place to try to pray. But what I can do is to have a room or a place or a space in my home that is set aside for my prayer. We've talked about this before. I've talked about it in homilies, right? Of having a prayer space or a prayer corner or a prayer chapel, okay? I have that in the rectory here. I have converted one of the smaller little rooms upstairs into a little prayer chapel. And that's where I often go to pray if I'm not praying in the church itself, right? Now, I will tell you that I am often tempted, the temptation for me can be to just pray wherever I find myself in the rectory at the time for prayer. So if it's time for evening prayer or night prayer, and I'm sitting in the living room or in the den, the thought is, oh, this is good enough, right? I can just pray right here. We can pray anywhere anyways, right? There's no specific prayer that prayer is more valuable, so to say, than others. But I find that because in practice, I choose only to use that chapel room that I've set aside to pray in. I don't go in there to watch movies or do anything else. I only pray in there. It's easier for me to focus in prayer when I pray there. It's kind of like I've begun to train my mind and body that when I go into this room, I'm there to pray. And so sometimes the temptation can be, I think, even from the evil one, to get me not to go there to pray because he knows I might be more easily distracted if I just sit in the living room or sit on the porch or other places. Now, it's not wrong to do that. Sometimes it's a matter of real convenience or need to pray somewhere else. But it can be a good practice to help us, especially if we're finding that we're distracted a lot in our prayer, to set aside a specific place that this is my prayer space. This is where I go to pray, especially my silent prayer with the Lord. So that's why I recommend that everyone have some sort of prayer space or prayer corner at their home, a place where we go to pray. Now, again, it is true that we can pray just about anywhere, but having a consistent place in the house to pray can be helpful. Even the Catechism reinforces this idea. It says in paragraph number 2691, it says this, "The choice of a favorable place is not a matter of indifference for true prayer." In other words, the Catechism is saying where we pray, it's not that that doesn't make any difference at all to true prayer. No, where we pray does make a difference, okay? So I would encourage all of us, especially during this time in which we're staying close to home a lot, if we haven't already, to set up a corner of a room or some sort of designated space in our house to be kind of our prayer space where we gather together to pray as a family, to pray the rosary, where we go to pray by on our own. We should set up a crucifix there or some icons or some favorite portraits of our Lord or our Lady or a statue that we might have of a favorite saint and decorate that place as a place, a holy place, a place for prayer. Now, next time I'll talk about what to do when we experience another kind of difficulty in prayer, and that is dryness in our prayer time. Okay? God bless you. Active spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desired to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.